disturbing discovery at an abandoned mobile home park.
Another suicide.
The nation's suicide rate is at its highest point since 1986.
When police came to the house, they saw tons and tons of trash. Turns out the daughter is a hoarder.
Crews made the gruesome discovery today inside a home.
They had 70 cats and dogs, mostly dogs. They found one deceased kitten inside the home.
A woman was found dead in a local home. That house had been tented for fumigation work.
The following is a true story. Names and locations are kept anonymous in order to protect the privacy of those involved.
I'm your host, Vanessa Fearson, and this is a true story. It may come as a bit of a surprise, but most crime scene cleaners don't just clean crime and death scenes. We clean up feces, urine, meth labs, and even hoarding. Essentially, if nobody else wants to do it, you call us. When we first started this endeavor, we focused on what we call blood jobs. Suicides, decomps, homicides. Yeah, you get the picture. We did okay, but we weren't getting the amount of business we needed in order to become and remain solvent. We were getting about 1 to 2 jobs a month. We were far from grounded in the industry. In fact, Ethan still had a 9-to-5 that we relied heavily on. It was evident that if we were going to make it, we couldn't zero in on one aspect of the business. We needed to drum up business in other areas such as hoarding. Still new to the world of crime scene cleaning, I wasn't quite sure how we were going to do a hoarding job, though. It certainly wasn't going to be just the two of us on a job like that. So we set out to hire some standby workers who weren't afraid to get dirty. Very dirty. But who could also be on standby. Neither Ethan nor I had any real HR experience and knew little to nothing about hiring. But it didn't stop us from interviewing people, although it was very impromptu and informal. We narrowed it down to a couple of guys and we met them both at a local coffee shop. Turns out that one of them was the type of person we were looking for. He had a good paying job but was inconsistent and needed some work to fill in the gaps. We both liked him and pretty much hired him on the spot. We found another guy who had just moved to the area. His wife had a job, but he was looking for some work to supplement their income. He turned out to be a great guy, and he was hired. Our two-man company had just doubled. Now we just needed to get some work in the door to keep them busy. So I made some tweaks to our website and posted some ads and crossed my fingers. When that first call came in, I could barely contain my excitement. My hard work and hair pulling had paid off. Well, at least I got the phone to ring. All I had to do now was close the job. Little did I know that our first hoarding job was going to be a baptism by fire. Thanks to recent popularity on the subject, many people think they're no strangers to hoarding. But I can promise you, you've not seen anything like this on any TV screen and would be hard-pressed to find anything remotely close to it. The caller said he had a problem with cats and my heart sank. I was 5 months pregnant with my first daughter. And in case you don't know, pregnancy plus cats can equal toxoplasmosis. Of all things, why did it have to be cats? But I couldn't let this one just slip away. We're trained for this type of thing, and I decided I would have to content myself with supervising from a distance and in full PPE. So I went ahead and scheduled an estimate for the weekend so Ethan could be present too. When the day came, we pulled up to the house at the designated time. It looked just like any other house on the quiet cul-de-sac. Any shades, curtains, or blinds to this house were closed tight. Other than some peeling paint on the exterior, the house at first glance didn't give any clue to the dirty secret held within. We got out of our car and approached the house with a smile on our faces. Before we even had a chance to get to the doorstep, the customer came out and closed the door behind him. We could tell he had been watching for us. He greeted us without shaking our hand and made sure that we were who we said we were. He wanted to make sure we weren't with health department or animal control. We assured him we weren't, and we were there just to assess the scope of work and give him an estimate on what it was going to take to help him out. He led us up to the house, and when he opened the door, we were blasted in the face with the fierce stench of ammonia. We took a few steps back, and somehow maintaining our composure, as politely as possible, we put on our respirators before following him in. As we stepped over the threshold, the source of the overpowering odor was immediately evident. Every surface was covered in cat urine, cat hair, spider webs, and other grime and filth. The ceilings were literally draped with spider webs so thick that I wouldn't have been surprised to see Indiana Jones walk out clutching a golden cat idol he had acquired from the spooky depths of this nightmarish house. As our customer led us through the property, he explained that he and his girlfriend had broken up a year ago and he had moved out and let her stay. Apparently, she was the perpetrator and he only recently retook the house and found it in this condition, infested with over 70 cats. However, his lack of a respirator and seeming comfort in this chaos, well, my husband and I shared our doubts about his story, but said nothing. As a result of the deplorable condition of the house, the health department was down his throat to get it cleaned up or else they would condemn it. This explained his hesitation on letting us in. He explained further that he had successfully gotten rid of all of the cats except for the four that were his. And he had another company come out to give him an estimate, and the guy only poked his head in and told him to just get some laborers from Home Depot parking lot. He didn't even provide him with a bid. My head swelled a bit with pride. I mean, we had the courage to tackle this job when the quote-unquote experienced professionals didn't, but we should have taken the cue from our predecessors and followed suit. But nope, this was going to be the first job that would set us apart from and above our competition. Immediately off the living room was the hallway that led to the home's two bedrooms. There was no carpet in the hallway. As far as I could tell, there was no floor. It was nothing but cat feces. Although we had shoe covers on, we were still hesitant to walk over it, but we had an estimate to do. Both bedrooms and the one bathroom looked like the living room in that all of the furniture, floor, and walls were covered in filth and cobwebs. The kitchen was the same, the dining room was the same, the den was the same. It all looked the same. Well, until we got to the sunroom. The spider webs were still pretty bad. They hung from the ceiling like overdone Halloween decorations. The main difference was that this wasn't so much as a sunroom as it was a cat room. I know the entire house was a cat house, but this room was intended to be set aside for the cats. The walls were lined with cat trees, and various cat toys were scattered throughout the room. The floor was literally littered with litter boxes. Say that three times fast. He explained that he, or rather his girlfriend, would put down a litter box. The cats would fill it and she wouldn't empty it. She would just put a new box next to it. Then that would get full and she'd put another one next to that one. At some point, there was no more room for litter boxes, so she would start double stacking the boxes, then triple stacking and even quadruple stacking. I started to wonder if we weren't in over our heads after all. Despite the entire tour, we were only in the house for a couple of minutes. I don't know that I could have lasted in there any longer than that. Even with the respirator, the smell of ammonia was burning my nostrils and my eyes were watering. I later discovered I grabbed the wrong respirator and this one was missing filters. Whoops. We stepped outside and told him we would get an estimate put together for him and we'd email it to him. He thanked us and we headed to our car. In my head, I was thinking about what a sad situation it was. It didn't matter if it was really his ex or if it was in fact him who had gotten into this situation. The guy still needed help and it seemed that we were the only ones willing to help him. This, however, didn't stop me from losing it when we got to the car. Holy shit, what the hell was that? Oh my God. We were laughing at how insurmountable this job was going to be. Abruptly, our laughing stopped and we looked at each other. We had both realized that in less than 2 minutes of being inside this house, we smelled as if we had been in there for days. I think this is a good spot to mention that this property was located over an hour away from our home. There was absolutely no way in hell we could endure that distance smelling the way we did. We weren't about to drive home naked, so we decided to go to a nearby Target and pick up some new clothes. We rolled the windows down, stuck our heads out, and floored it. We screeched into a parking space and power walked into the store and went to our respective clothing departments. In what seemed like seconds, we met back up, each with an entire outfit in hand, and we headed to the checkout counters. I swear that fate was against us because every lane that had a cashier had a line of about 15 or 20 people. You'd think it was Black Friday or something. We headed to the express lane, hoping it would move faster. But after what seemed like an eternity, we only moved forward once. I could tell Ethan wasn't happy, and I was sure he was contemplating divorce. But he was actually devising a plan, which he enacted quickly. He moved within inches of the person in front of him. The poor man turned and scrunched his face in disgust, then frantically turned forward to see what the holdup was. Then he tried to move away from Ethan, but he didn't let up. With a shit-eating grin on his face, Ethan clung to him like a barnacle, and after a few more seconds, the guy left to stand in another slow-moving line. And we stepped forward. Success. This was then executed with the same tenacity with the next person, and the next, and so on, until we very quickly arrived at the front of the line. Saying little and paying quickly, we headed into the bathroom and changed into our new clothes. We didn't even bother to attempt to save the old ones. We simply canned that shit and got back into the car. Thankfully, the car hadn't retained the smell the same way our clothes had. They say that the universe won't give you more than you can handle, but I started to question that idea when the client accepted our bid. I felt like fate was having quite the laugh at my expense. Truthfully, although we dreaded going back to this house, we were excited about getting our first hoarding job, so we decided to suck it up and tough it out. We alerted our newly acquired crew, one of which was the first guy who had approached us for work. Anyway, I gave them their job details, and on the day of the job, I gave them the respirators and sent them into the house. Despite my respirator, I couldn't stay in the house for very long. As bad as I wanted the job, well, I wasn't going to risk my baby. Our client wanted everything gone, all the trash, furniture, and basically anything and everything that wasn't bolted or nailed down. So we started in the living room and worked our way through the kitchen and into the sunroom. This last proved to be quite the challenge. Fate was cruel and she was messing with us again on our first day of the job. It was recorded as the hottest day of the year that day, and we felt every sweat-sucking degree. So that was fun. Anyway, the poor guy's respirators were getting clogged from the sweat, and they finally gave up and resorted to bandanas, which did little to nothing to keep the smell down, but it did keep the dust and debris out of their mouths, mostly. I can still hear them gagging and coughing, and it makes me laugh. A major part of the challenge of the sunroom was these cat trees. No exaggeration here when I tell you there were about 50 of them. Oh yeah, remember the cobwebs I mentioned during the estimate? Well, turns out they weren't cobwebs at all. They were active spiderwebs. Spiderwebs belonging to Black Widows. Throughout the cleanup process, Black Widows and Daddy Longlegs would hitch a ride on our heads, shoulders, and backs. It wasn't uncommon to see someone flicking a spider off someone else or themselves. If we got points for the number of spiders we flicked, we'd have a high score. Okay, yeah, back to the cat trees. In an effort to fit as many as possible into the dumpster, I had the bright idea to break them down. I don't know if you've ever tried to destroy one of these things, but apparently it's not easy. Not one of our guys was a wimpy little weakling. They were all in their prime and in great shape. Each of them struggled to break these things down, though. They started with hammers, thinking the bases and branches would come apart easily. They had to switch to sledgehammers. This was an improvement, but swinging sledgehammers on a blistering hot day, barely being able to breathe, was no easy task. So I went and bought a sawzall with some demolition blades. These things would cut through anything. Anything except a urine-soaked cat tree. Somehow these blades dulled almost instantly. At this point, we were going to spend an entire day on cat trees and would put us significantly behind schedule. I couldn't have that because it meant an extra day at this place. So I went and got what I thought would be the final solution, a chainsaw. But the chain kept getting stuck on the carpet and slipping off. Everyone was getting miserably frustrated, so I decided to have them chuck them as they were. I would accept the additional cost for another dumpster if it meant we could be done with this job even 1 hour sooner. If you're enjoying this episode, I want to take a moment to tell you about Resonate Recordings. Resonate Recordings edited, mixed, mastered, and produced the episode you're currently listening to. They offer professional podcasting services to podcasters all over the world. Editing, mixing, mastering, custom production, sound design, music creation, hosting setup, and even RSS feed configuration are just a few of the services they offer. If you're considering starting a podcast or want to increase the quality of your podcast, go to resonaterecordings.com to see how they can save you time and help take your podcast to the next level. Resonate Recordings has a professional team of experienced audio engineers, producers, and musicians who all have a passion for podcasting. Right now, my listeners can go to resonaterecordings.com and get their first episode produced for free. No commitments, no strings attached. You too can have an expertly crafted podcast at no risk to you. So what are you waiting for? Go to resonaterecordings.com and complete the form at the bottom of the page. Just tell them Vanessa sent you. Now back to the show. By the time we had the cat trees out and the curtains of webs removed, it was lunch. I had the boys stay there while I went and picked up some food. I wanted something quick and easy, so I went to a sandwich shop around the corner. When I returned, I realized that by kicking up all the dust and debris and putting the contaminated trash and furniture into the dumpster, the odor was no longer contained inside the house. You could smell it from the sidewalk on the other side of the street. Despite the fact that the guys had accepted and embraced the odor, it was still difficult to eat in immediate proximity to the house. So we went down the street a bit and ate al fresco on the sidewalk. Regardless of being sweaty, covered in dust, hair, and God knows what, they somehow managed to eat. I think they were just thankful for the break, honestly. One of the lucky guys hired to do this job was very sweet. He never said anything derogatory about our client, he never complained, and he never worked without a smile. He was sitting with his legs crossed and happily eating his sandwich when an innocuous piece of lettuce fell out of his sandwich and landed on his pant leg. Without thinking and wasting no time at all, he picked it up and popped it into his mouth. We all froze and stared in horror as we watched what he had just done. It took him only a second to join us in disgust as he realized where that morsel had just been. Amazingly, he managed not to vomit and finished the rest of his sandwich to the sounds of our laughter. I know I've painted quite the gloomy picture, but realized that the only way we could make it through this job was either laugh or cry. Having to deal with grief much too often in our line of work, well, we chose to take the opportunity to laugh. Yeah, it was disgusting and we prayed he didn't contract anything, but in the moment, after everything we had been through already and the huge task still before us, it was pretty damn funny. By the end of the day, we had cleared everything except for the hallway and the bedrooms. So on day two, I had them start in the hallway. Now, if you remember, this is the same hallway that was floored with cat feces. Well, it turns out this bit of fecal matter was literally petrified, and even with heavy-duty floor scrapers, it was very slow-going. It was like chipping away at concrete with ice picks. But we managed to get to the bottom of it in one spot, and we found that there actually was carpet underneath all that filth. The guys were able to get one edge of it up and managed to roll it up like a burrito. finally, yes, something on this job started to go our way. Here's where I say to hell with Murphy and his stupid law. At the start of this job, our client informed us that the cats he had kept were locked up in one of the bedrooms. It was vital that we be sure not to let them out. No problem, I thought. Well, actually, it was a problem, apparently, because despite explicit instructions, someone opened the bedroom door at the very same time the front door was being opened. One cat saw his chance and bolted out the bedroom and out the front door and into the bushes. Well, you would have thought someone had gutted a child over a burning pentagram by the scream that ensued from our client. I was down the driveway and across the street at our car drinking some water when I heard the blood-curdling scream, "Vanessa!" Nearly choking, I waddle ran back to the house to see what had happened. My cat, he's gone. They let him out. Why would they do that? I told them not to do that. He was in a frenzy and seemed very close to a mental breakdown. No exaggeration. I was able to calm him down a bit and have him explain what had happened while everyone else stood there in shocked silence. As it turns out, that whole bit about a cat getting out had not happened at all. All cats were present and accounted for. What had actually happened is that one of the many doors that was supposed to have remained closed while a series of other doors were open had been left open. That's all. No cat ran out of the bedroom, let alone the house. All was well and he apologized and the crew got back to work. Only much more careful about which doors were open when. I myself felt sick to my stomach and wanted to die. Anyway, lunchtime on day two came and the boys wanted Mexican food. Before I left, I decided to ask the client if he'd like some. He thanked me and said, sure. When I returned, I handed him his food and figured he would have joined us across the street. But I was wrong. It was at this point that I almost lost my appetite and confirmed my initial suspicion that he was the culprit and not his girlfriend. My first clue should have been that he was barefoot. Barefoot? In a house that is literally coated with urine and cockroaches and spiderwebs and feces? He's walking around barefoot? Anyway, with his lunch in hand, he bent down to pick something up. However, the something had a piece of cat poop on it. He picked up the poop and tossed it aside, with no gloves on and no source of soap or even water in the house, and then moved into the bedroom to eat his lunch in solitude. I swear I'm not making any of this up. In case you're worried, we had a hand washing station in our truck, so we were able to wash our hands and sanitize and all that stuff before dealing with our food. Silently disgusted but still hungry, I joined the boys across the street. The heat, the smell, the cat skeletons, it was all starting to wear on them, but somehow they managed to hang in there and keep going. I suspect that the humor we encountered somehow managed to at least balance, if not outweigh, the horrors we were subjected to. One such instance happened while I stood outside. I looked up the street and saw a cute, bubbly, nicely dressed lady walking in our direction with a big smile on her face. She was leading a happy couple down the street. Remembering that the house next door was for sale, I realized this must be the realtor and her prospective buyers. Uh-oh. Not a good week to show this house, sweetheart. This house and our client's house happened to share a driveway, and their front doors faced each other. This meant that anyone seeking to get in the front door of this house would have to walk by a giant purple dumpster full of the most foul-smelling materials I've ever dealt with. As they approached the house next door, the smiles faltered and were replaced by scrunched faces and covered noses. Each step toward the house was followed by the next more and more quickly. With a look of horror on her face, there was an audible, oh my God, come on, quick. She started jogging toward the house while physically ushering the confused couple to the front door. She fumbled around in her purse for the keys, but in her haste, she couldn't find the right one. If one were to observe this lady without context, you might think she was frantically pounding on the front door because someone was out to kill her. She urgently hopped from foot to foot and kept looking to make sure her clients hadn't run off. She finally located the right key and threw the door open. She quickly ushered the couple into the house and slammed the door. I struggled to maintain my laughter at the event unfolding in front of me, but I failed miserably. I was the one who had to pee, literally. I was buckled over on the front lawn of my client's house, grabbing my crotch. I was laughing hysterically. I had tears streaming down my face. And fortunately, the client was inside finishing up his burrito and didn't see me involuntarily acting the fool. The end of the trash out was approaching, and the client asked if we would do cleaning. He said he'd pay extra, and without thinking, the word, "Sure," came flying out of my mouth. If only life had a control Z. But no, it doesn't. And I couldn't think of a way to backpedal, so I committed. My boys were working very hard, and they hit it pretty well, but I could tell this job was starting to wear on them. The level of filth throughout this house was more than my team could tackle in any reasonable amount of time. So I decided to call in the cavalry. As you know, I had worked as the manager of a janitorial company, and in doing so, became pretty good friends with some of the cleaning crews. I reached out to one of my really good friends and explained my situation to him. He was very happy to hear that my business was doing well and was eager to help out in any way he could. He just needed to see the job first and get an idea of what he'd be dealing with and figure out how many people he'd need. When he arrived, he apparently didn't fully appreciate the situation I had relayed to him because he was wearing a t-shirt, shorts, and flip-flops. He assured me it wasn't a problem. "Nessie, it's okay, don't worry about it," he told me. I told him it most certainly was not okay and he needed a mask, which I tried to hand him, but he still refused and was not fazed. I conceded and opened up the front door. When the door closed behind us, he realized that I was not lying nor exaggerating. He immediately scrunched his face and covered his nose with his shirt. He gasped, "Oh my God, Nessie. Oh my God. Oh my God. What is that?" I can't tell you if it was the glee of insanity I was approaching or if it was really as funny as I thought, but once again, I couldn't contain my laughter. I still had to pee, and being pregnant and laughing, I'm amazed I managed not to pee all over the floor. Not that it would have made anything worse. I was doubled over in laughter and holding my crotch once again, crossing my legs with tears streaming down my face and snot filling up my respirator. I couldn't pull it together. My buddy Nacho didn't find it funny. He was horrified. And to be honest, he looked pretty angry at me. He didn't bother walking through the entire house. He quickly glanced around before exiting. When he stepped outside, I could tell he stayed in there as long as he could hold his breath. Once he stepped outside, he started sucking air and started to gag. He parked down the street and was in a mad sprint toward his truck. He took a second to clear his lungs and prevent further gagging. And then he reached into his truck and began spraying his whole body with Lysol, which only made me laugh harder. I couldn't believe it, but he was still willing to help me out. He gave me a crew of 5 people, and they worked tirelessly for 3 days straight, scrubbing and wiping walls, ceilings, counters, floors, and doors. I realized that we were never going to be done with this job, so I jumped in and spent the next 3 days frantically scrubbing with them. I still have no idea how we pulled it off, but when we were done, it was a completely different house. The walls were white, the counters were clear, the hardwood floors were stained, but still shiny. The odor was still detectable, but you could walk in and through the house without the need for a respirator. It was quite the transformation. As we were about to pack up, he asked about the garage. "The garage?" We hadn't even looked in the garage up to this point. I almost started to cry. But being the people pleaser that I am, I held it together and had him lead the way. When the door was opened, there wasn't really a whole lot in there. There were a few stacks of boxes, papers, and the like. Surprisingly, none of it was covered in cat urine. But there was one section of the garage that was free of clutter, but the space was occupied. It was occupied by a bed and a variety of other things that indicated someone had a very interesting sex life. If it were any other day on any other job, I might have been taken aback. I may have gawked or not. It's hard to say. All I can say is that after everything we had been through on this job, this was nothing. It was all in plain sight, though, So when I saw it, I was expecting some sort of a reaction or at least a mention of it from the client. I mean, I'm not saying he should have been embarrassed or anything. To each his own in my book. But maybe some sort of, oh yeah, that, don't worry about those things, or something, right? But nope, he glossed over it as we stood there and behaved as though it came standard with every garage. Maybe he was embarrassed but chose to ignore it to avoid further embarrassment. In any event, we cleared out the items he needed gone, and I was not sad to see that door close. We drove away from the house with a gamut of emotions. We were relieved to be away from there, excited that we had done it, amazed at everything we had seen, disgusted at how we smelled, but all in all, there was an overall sense of accomplishment. This small ragtag team of newbies had achieved the impossible, and if we could do this, well, we could do anything. One more thing I wanted to add, kind of an epilogue of sorts. Nate, the guy who had sought us out when we first started and managed to get us in front of the coroner's office, well, he had borrowed his dad's work truck for the time that he was working with us on this job. It had compartments on both sides of the bed for various tools and whatnot. Nate used one of these compartments to put his work boots in so he didn't wear them inside the truck. After the job, he had put the boots in there like every other day and drove home. I guess exhaustion took its toll because when he got home, rather than cleaning or throwing away his boots, he forgot about them and left them in the compartment for a couple of days. He finally remembered them and realized there was no hope and threw them away. One thing he didn't do was clean out the compartment. A week or so later, after having his work truck returned, Nate's dad went to retrieve something from said compartment. Boom, cat smell to the face, followed by instant vomit and revoking of any and all rights to the truck forever. I laughed hysterically as Nate told me this story. It was funny, but I also felt like at least someone could appreciate what we went through on this job. I wanted to give a quick shout out. Since I started podcasting, I've met a handful of really, really incredible people on social media as well as other podcasters. You have the Gone Cold podcast. Vince and Erica are really awesome. Cold Traces, that's Christina, and she's just amazing. She's the sweetest girl ever. This Week in True Crime History, Joel, for me, is hysterical. His podcast is very respectful. It's not comedy at all, but he's got this dry humor that I like. There's Southern Fried True Crime, and that's another Erica. She's great. There's Texas True Terrors, and that's Maria. We have True Crime Storytime. That's Casey and Samantha, and their little Australian accents are just amazing. Love it. The Unresolved Podcast. That's Michael. He's really amazing. The Nowhere Dispatch, that's Lucas, and he's been such a big help. If you have time or interest in other true crime podcasts, those ones are really great ones. And in addition to the podcast being great, the people behind them are really awesome and they have a big purpose. And I'm happy to show them love. They've definitely done it for me. Thank you for listening to The Cleaning of John Doe. Today's episode was produced by Resonate Recordings. I'd like to announce this week's t-shirt winner. That winner is Margaret Geis. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but it's G-U-I-C-E. Congratulations, Margaret. Be sure to email me at info@thecleaningofjohndoe.com with your mailing address and your t-shirt size. Be sure to subscribe and review us on iTunes. It really helps. I can't express my gratitude enough for all the love and support we've been receiving so far. You guys are all awesome. If you truly enjoy what you're hearing, help spread the word to your friends, family, and coworkers. As a thank you to our listeners, we'll be giving away 8 $25 Amazon gift cards just in time for the holidays. For more information, head over to the Cleaning of John Doe's Facebook page and get in on our giveaways. Gift card winners will be announced on our Tuesday, December 5th episode, so stay tuned. Thanks again for listening to The Cleaning of John Doe. Tune in next week for Painkiller. The story is about a father's dilemma with lethal results.